my film section.
Yep.
And I guess I'll start with the most recent film that I watched. Only came back about an hour ago. Dunkirk, the new film from Christopher Nolan, written and directed by him.
So much publicity about this.
A lot of publicity going around this. And, you know, it has been hyped for a while. You know, his first kind of war film or, you know,
that, epic
that
film.
Kind of epic genre film. So, yeah.
You weren't impressed, were you?
It was good. It was really, it was good. But yeah, all the, this heaps of praise that's putting on it.
Well, five star, one of the dailies.
A lot of the dailies.
Yeah.
Yeah, all around the traps, it's getting, you know, absolutely rave reviews. People are saying it's his best film yet. Masterpiece, you know, perfect. I guess maybe the fact that I'd sort of heard all of that commotion about it maybe affected the way that I watched it. I was kind of looking for a bit more. I felt like it sort of, it still relied on a lot of kind of cliches and, and tropes of war films and you know, like a drama film, textbook kind of thing. So yeah, as I said, like, I'm probably being a bit harsh on it. It's a solid 3.5 star film. But yeah, it was a bit lost on me, unfortunately. But I really sort of loved the historical context to it because it's a well, matter that I didn't know much about.
Right.
At all.
Well, such a big story. Mm. You know, like it's you know, one of the major stories of the Second World War, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. But can you see why people might think it was such a masterpiece, Brendan? Or
that would probably this just, is me being just, cynical, but it's probably because he kept it under 2 hours and they could take it.
Oh, that's I like the idea that it actually follows just three stories,
right,
and it doesn't follow the you know, Churchill story, and it doesn't, and they don't mention Hitler's name at all through it. So I find that interesting that they can, you know, like just, you know, like follow these three different stories and not include so much of what was history per se.
Yeah, and I suppose that, you know, that has been covered a lot in previous films.
Exactly. So you don't have to.
I do appreciate that it it finds different perspectives to see it from. But I just found it a little bit, and I'll probably get persecuted for this, but just a little bit twee in parts.
Right.
I'm like, oh, okay. For example, one of the boats, the civilian boats that's going to sort of take these men back, I just felt it was a little bit manipulative with the emotion. I was like, oh no, it didn't need all of that.
Right.
It could have, I don't know, it was just a little bit twee for my liking, unfortunately.
Lots of big stars.
Big stars, yes.
And my boyfriend is in it, Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy, yes. But he's wearing... It's a little bit like Dark Knight Rises, though, because he's wearing a mask pretty much the whole thing while he's in his fighter plane.
But he tends to do that a lot, doesn't he, with his character, is that I'm watching Taboo, which started on BBC first.
Right.
On cable. It started last week. It's brilliant people. If you've got cable and you want to see this really, and he co-wrote it with his father, who's a writer. And again, he said, "Oh, I didn't really have to act because I wear this hat. I've got a scar on my face, and you know, like that does the acting for me." But he's brilliant in it. But he does hide behind a lot of different personas.
I guess it allows him to really inhabit that role. And even though he is wearing the mask, he...
And it's not a mask. It's actually his oxygen mask.
Well, so it's still a mask.
Well, yeah, but people might think it's a Mardi Gras mask or something.
Oh, no. But yeah, as he's fighting in the plane.
Yep, cockpit.
So in the cockpit, he's talking a little, you know, enough. But there isn't a terrible amount of dialogue in this film. And a lot of sort of hype's been made around that.
Yep.
And I do appreciate that. You know, there isn't... The dialogue doesn't... You really let it down, except for, as I said, on the little civilian boat. There's it's a little bit naff in some parts. But the rest of it's very concise.
Kenneth Branagh is...
He's okay. But
right,
I think three quarters of his performance is just looking into the sky and looking for things coming. And I thought...
And he really does it pretty much all shots? On a jetty, isn't it?
Yes. So he's not really expected to do that much.
And then lots of the younger guys, which a lot of them 17, 18-year-olds.
Yeah, they're really the stars, I feel.
Yeah. And of course, one of them is...
Mr. Harry Styles. And he holds himself very well in this. He's probably... As I said, the dialogue is very sparse, and he probably says... some of the most lines, right, to be honest. Okay. Even though he's sort of a secondary character,
yep,
there's a bit towards the end, without giving too much away, but where he's...
Don't tell me it's a war character film.
Well, he starts singing. No, I'm joking, David.
Because I was going to say, really?
He just puts out one of some One Direction song. But no, his character sort of comes out, because a lot of these characters, they're not... You know, there's not enough time given to them to be, you know, well drawn, because they're not given enough dialogue. They're not given enough kind of breadth of the performance, which I guess is a little bit of a downfall. It's a positive and a negative at the same time, because you kind of with them in their plight, and they're kind of an everyman kind of situation. But at the same time, on an individual level, you're not given really enough to connect with, you know, this one of them is sort of the protagonist, the young kids, and you kind of feel for him, but I wasn't all the way there.
All right.
So it was more of a, you know, you're kind of caring for the whole troop trying to get out rather than these individuals, which, you know, could go either way depending on how you're watching the film.
Visually, what's it like?
Oh, it's stunning.
Yep.
It really is a stunning film. Kind of washed out blues and sort of, you could tell it was cold and miserable, and you know, they're really stuck in this horrible situation. So that really did come across.
There was this one image I saw, and it was fleeting, but they're waiting to get onto boats after one of the attacks, and one of the soldiers just pushes one of the dead bodies that's floating, and it really moved me. And there was lots of other dead bodies just floating, but he just pushed this one because it was coming towards me, just pushed it away.
That was very effective and affecting, that scene. So there are real, you know, moments of just incredible scenes, but unfortunately for me, it didn't all come together.
Stars, how many?
3.5.
That's still pretty good.
It's okay. Yep. It's okay. I guess just the expectations are very, very, very high going in for myself and for everyone pretty much going in now, because it has had so much hype around it.
Yep.
So, yeah, maybe I'll watch it again and it might improve. Yep. But, A great bit of history. If you're going for that, it's probably more of a 4, 4.5 star kind of film.
Yep.
But if you're going for the whole package, 3.5 from me. Now, from Dunkirk to something called Baby Driver, David. Mm. This one actually came out last week, and it has done amazingly, actually, box office-wise and critically. Wise as well. It is acclaimed here and overseas. And this is a new one written and directed by Edgar Wright. So I guess it's the domain of the writer-directors at the moment, isn't it, David?
Very much so, yeah.
Which is great, actually, because, you know, Hollywood's a bit funny with that sometimes. Mm. They like to keep those jobs separate to, I guess, control the production a lot more. But this is Edgar Wright's new film, and it's wonderful. I can't really say much more than that. Well, it's the lead character of Baby, funnily enough, played by Ansel Elgort. He is a getaway driver.
Yep.
And he works for Kevin Spacey. He's wonderfully droll.
What an actor.
He's wonderful. He plays a very, you know, he's not a good guy by any stretch of the imagination.
Oh, he plays baddies brilliantly.
He plays baddies, but this one has a lot of depth to it as well. Not a terrible amount of depth, but enough to sort of kind of, he's a bit of an anti-hero in a way.
Right.
He's still the antagonist as well. So it's weird. But I like that. I like when things aren't completely black and white. So, but Ansel Elgort is wonderful in this. I actually got to speak to him in real life when he was here for the premiere. We did a video with him for work. And lovely guy, but that shouldn't affect how I see the film. But he is a lovely guy in real life, which is always lovely when you meet Hollywood people that actually are nice.
Yep.
But he plays this role, sort of a bit of an ingenue, a bit of a, you know, sort of an innocent. He's kind of thrust into this gangster world, and he's just trying to get out again and, you know, get with the woman of his dreams.
Yep. And the car chases are amazing. The music, because he listens to music the whole time
he's
driving.
And that was all chosen by Edgar Wright in the scripting process.
Right.
So that was already inbuilt. It wasn't an afterthought. It was actually part of the original
Brilliant.
Script.
Love it.
And which you can tell. It's the whole film is kind of based almost around the music.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that kind of, for lack of a better word, musicality about the whole film. Everything is kind of it's very much orchestrated. So every every beat, every scene, every cut is kind of, yeah, dependent on the music, which I really, really loved. So this is a 5-star film
for
me.
Oh, okay.
It really is that good.
Yep.
If you're into
car chase
films, sort of, you know, Walter Hill kind of vibe from it, but then also it's very modern at the same time as well. Despite the music being a lot of classics, you know, from the 70s and you know, around that era. So I love that kind of pastiche of generations and different types of music. Mm. So a lot of this music, you know, the younger generation may have never even heard of or heard.
You'd be surprised these days.
Maybe.
They seem to be going back.
The hipsters,
to
it. Definitely.
Yeah.
All on vinyl.
Yeah, all on, yes, exactly.
But I can't recommend this one enough.
Okay.
I would have reviewed it last week, but better late than never. Yep. But I can't. Yep, yeah, you just have to go and see Baby Driver. It is still everywhere in cinemas, so go check it out. You're on Sunday Arts Magazine on Joy 94.9.